Now, let's learn from the Bible today. If you have the Bible, please open the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Let me read that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Because of the redemption was made possible by Jesus Christ, we are saved. We make many mistakes. And this redemption is more than we can imagine. And that's what the today's passage teaches us. Let's say, you know, your child throw a ball into a neighbor's house and break a glass, and your son, let's say, is going to get scolded by the neighbor, and then you as a parent go and apologize, and you say, you know, we'll fix it, we'll pay for the damages, and let's say you say you're going to pay 30 or 40,000 yen to fix it, or, and then you add a little bit and you pay 50,000 yen to the person, the neighbor. So let's say this is a, you know, you as a parent fix the problem, but the God's redemption is of course more than that, you know. If you read the Bible, as you can see, you know, Jesus Christ had to bleed for us to redeem us. And there was no other way to redeem us than to Jesus Christ bled. And we, because we are sinners and we commit sins, and then so Bible teaches us. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. But it's just not just beyond the fact that we are just sinners. You know, the God loves us. And He loves us so much. And made us glorious. That also means that we are very, very special people. And to God, we've been studying the book of Ephesians so far. You know, what God has done for us, it's not just like, you know, it's a one-time salvation and say, you're finished, you're free to go. You know, God tried to make us holy, blameless child in His sight. And that's the promise He gave us. And this is a promise that is everlasting. So He gives us, He blesses us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what it says. And he used the phrase in the, you know, He gave us grace in the love, in the one He loves. And this phrase, and this tells us a lot about the fact that we are such important children of God in the one He loves. And this means in Jesus Christ, you know, the one refers to Jesus. And it the phrase in Jesus Christ appears many times in chapter 1 of Ephesians. If you look at let's read the verse from the beginning, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesians, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. I just read the verses 1 through 5. And then we see the phrase in Christ Jesus or through Jesus Christ. So Paul wanted to tell us about wanted to explain using the phrase in Christ Jesus or through Jesus Christ. But he changed that phrase in verse 6 by using the phrase in the one he loves instead of saying in Jesus Christ. He did this intentionally. So what was the intention? Because Paul wanted us to know that what kind of person, a being Jesus Christ was to the Father God. That's why he used the one phrase, in the one he loves. The God the Father loves Jesus Christ. And as much as he does love Jesus Christ, and he loves us as well. That's an amazing thing. That God loves us to an amazing degree. When you think about this love, you can compare it to the love the parents have toward their children. On the sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ talked about even if people are evil, the parents try to do good things to their own children. And of course, sometimes, parents do love their children in most situations. When I look at my own father and mother, and also my wife's mother and father, and it's also true with other parents as well, the parents focus on their children. Parents pay a lot of attention to their own children. Even if your children are not perfect, but you still love your own children. They somehow look handsome. They somehow look pretty, even if they're not objectively. But subjectively, they're beautiful and wonderful, right? So children, parents love their own children. But God the Father loves Jesus Christ, his own son, and in the same way, God loves us as well. His own son had to bleed, had to die on the cross, but he loved us. He had to do that because he loved us. God the Father did that. What parents cannot do. This is the work of God. It's a work of God. And a work that is something only God can do. He sacrificed his own son. And so we kind of understand that because we understand our love toward our own children. And through that, God tried to teach us. And so that was why Paul used the phrase, in the one he loves. That's why he used that phrase. God using the one he loves, by using Jesus Christ, he tried to show love to us. And that's what Paul is saying in chapter 1. And there is another interesting aspect to that phrase, the one he loves. Because he loved Jesus, and usually we our ultimate in our relationship with our children, loving our children, becomes our goal, and we use various instruments to love our children, right? Our children are our goals oftentimes, and we use other instruments to love God, our own children. But God used Jesus Christ as an instrument to love us. He did something that as a Godfather was very difficult to do, in relation to his own son, Jesus Christ. And that's the why he used the phrase, Paul used the phrase, in the one he loves. He wants us to understand that. So that's why Paul wrote it that way. So, in spite of the fact that God the Father loves Son Jesus Christ, he used his own Son as an instrument to love us, to show love to us, to save us. And that's what Paul is saying in this passage. And that's why he used the phrase, the one he loves. That's what I think. So God the Father used his own Son as a sacrifice to save us. And through that act, God showed love to us. So we who are saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ should not just be satisfied with the fact that we are saved. We need to praise God. We need to confess our belief in the glorious God with joy. And we need to continue to love others because we are the ones who are loved by God. So we should not just be psychologically satisfied that we are saved through Jesus Christ. Because God loves us, because God sees incredible value in us, we need to love others. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and have gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, the fact that we are saved, the fact that God sees value in us, does not just make us satisfied. But we need to walk like Jesus did. If you remember, Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, said, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. That's what Philip said. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So, and also when Jesus Christ prayed before his crucifixion, Jesus said, this is from John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, and they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So he said, the Father and Jesus are one, and just as they are one, he prayed that Christians may be brought to complete unity. So through this, Jesus was saying that we are very, very important. We're important to Jesus and God the Father, because we may be one in Jesus Christ. We are created. We were created by Father God. Although we are the ones that are created, we are very, very important. And God, again, we are, as human beings, as very, very important, because God loves us, and Jesus Christ prays that we need to become one, and we love others, so that if we love others, the world will know that we are Christians. By loving each other, the world will know we are loved by God. Then the people will know that we are Christians. Other people see us. Other people see God's love in us. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2 one more time. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And Jesus explained more about this in Matthew. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In love, he predestined us for adoption. Oh, no. So that's the end. In the other passage we looked at last week, it said, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So it's just connected. In order for us to be adopted, you know, as a son through Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that we can be children of God. We will be chosen as a blameless children in his sight. And we should not just be happy with the fact that we are saved, but we need to love those even who hate us. We need to show that we are God's children by loving others. Our salvation is based on God's grace 100%. It's not our right to be saved. Only God has the right to do that. What we have, or what we can do, is our responsibility to take the grace that God gives us. And if we take that, then we experience love. And because we have the responsibility to love others, we need to act as children of God. That means we have a responsibility to love others. So we cannot give up on that responsibility. If we give up on that responsibility, we won't be Christians anymore. Why does God give us this responsibility? Why does he give that responsibility to us? Why do we need to pray for those who persecute us? Why do we need to pray for enemies? Because we are loved children. God is calling us as loved children. So we have to remember that's the request God, the command God gave us to love others. It's not like our status and profit and achievement that we made on our own. But the salvation God gave us is not like that. We did not do anything to deserve our salvation. God said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he requires to do that because we are the children of God. Children of God who are loved by God. And that's what God the Father requires us to do. So it's not like buying a house, a car, or gaining social status or achievements in this world. And we don't have to worry about that as Christians. Pride, our status, our unwillingness to forgive others. All these things are something that we need to go beyond. So we need to understand what kind of relationship we have with our children. That the Bible explains why we need to do these things. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. So, this passage explains it very well, doesn't it? If we understand that we have the special status as Christians, as the one who are forgiven, you understand this. We don't have to fight against each other. We don't have to a silly conflict between us. Oftentimes there is conflict. Even wars take place because of limited resources. But the one we have, the one that God gave us, is not something that decreases in amount by sharing it with others. So that our real resource that we have is the love in God, and that we can share with anybody. And we have those in plenty. So we continue to give as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We are asked to do these things. Just as God Father loves Jesus Christ, God loves us. That's why He asks us to do certain things as God's chosen people. That's why we're supposed to have compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We can do these things. Why? Not because God gives us so much. You know, if we cannot engage in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, then that tells us a lot about who we are. If we are just focusing only on ourselves, filled with anger, looking down on others, saying bad things about other people, and attacking other people, if we do that, then that means we're not truly acting as Christians. We're not truly understanding God's grace. We are God's children. We are made as God's children, as the one who we are loved by God. And so we have a responsibility to love others. God called us to do that. And God loves us. And God made us, want to make us glorious as God's children. So if we understand all of this, you know, we need to practice love. And other people will see Christ in us if we practice love with other people. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, you loved us through the one you love. You made us rich by becoming your child. Let us practice love as Christians. Let other people know that we have Christ in us by the love that we have. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ.